It's the Pulse of New Hampshire. I'm J-Dog, and joining me is a true Renaissance man. In addition to being an author and an entrepreneur, he is also a doting grandfather, a fantastic father, and a loving husband. He is also a swell dancer. He is also a skier when it's time to ski, of course. As I mentioned, he's an author as well, a baseball awards presenter. He is Eddie Papowski's number one fan, and also the president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental and the host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio. It's Tom Raffio. Hey, Tom.
Hi, Jay. I always love your introduction. It's going to take you everywhere I go. And I hope you get a nice Independence Day holiday. And hopefully people aren't saying we still need more water.
We need more fireworks, not water.
Oh, yeah. That's true. And I also did some running over the holiday as well. There was a race in Derry on July 4th. And then there was a community race in Bradford the prior Saturday. So in any event, we should probably get going right to our guests, a very important topic. You mentioned I was an author. One of the most important books I've ever read is on mental health by John Broderick, and it's way more important than my book, Stories from the Starting Line, which is about running. But there's also a mental health component in the sense that a lot of runners use running for mental health. In any event, let's bring on our guest, Paul Dean, who is the UNH Police Chief and co-chair of the Helios Safety Symposium, John Stevens, Community College System of New Hampshire and co-chair of the Helios Safety Symposium, and of course, Russ Conney, retired major from the New Hampshire State Police. Gentlemen, thank you for joining me. As always, this is like our annual get together. So thank you. Everybody looks well. How are things going in your lives in general? Okay.
Things are good.
Good. Let's start with you, John. Please give our listeners an overview of the Helios Safety Symposium and its purpose.
Well, Tom, hey, it's great to be with you again for another year. This is the 8th annual Helios Symposium, which is focused on mental health awareness throughout the state. So we're extremely proud and honored to be able to hold this. As you know, Nick was a close personal friend of mine for our close to 30 years with the state police. And unfortunately, after he passed, as a former chief of the UNH Police Department as well, and a trustee for the Community College System of New Hampshire, I was fortunate enough and honored enough to take his place. And with his passing, we have been able to host this symposium in his name, and we're extremely proud to do so.
Wonderful. So Chief Dean, tell us about your background and how you got involved.
Well, thanks, Tom, and thanks for having us and hosting us again. Nick Helios was my mentor. I've been in law enforcement just out of my 39th year. Nick, I'm here today because of Nick. And Nick's love for higher education, Nick's love for students was unmatched. And when it comes to mental health, Nick was always trying to find ways to improve that through his office. And so I took on that torch. And some of the reason why I took on that torch, Tom, I think you know I have a personal story. My brother committed suicide in 1996, and I know how devastating that was. It still is. Both my parents who've passed away, their last words were hoping that they would see their son and my brother Doug. And I've tried for years to try to make it so that other families do not face what mine did and still face today. I mean, there's not a day that goes by that doesn't enter my mind. And every time I hear of another family who's been hit by this, that it doesn't bring back those memories. And so that's how all of us are friends here on, and we sat around and we said, how do we do something about this? And what would Nick do? And Nick would probably be laughing at us all right now a little bit, poking fun at us, because that's how he was. But we're honoring him and his legacy with this. So we're hoping to get people involved. And the other part to it very quickly is that we do this with 100% donations from the outside. It doesn't cost budgets anything. We try to raise the money through people. And, you know, we're hoping that people hearing this today might want to consider donating.
And we'll get to that. So, Major Conti, tell us your involvement. And, of course, you also were past president of NAMI as well. So tell us your involvement.
So again, I worked for Nick, and Nick retired from state police as a major, and so did I. So we always had a kinship. And apart from, you know, Nick just being the man that he was a great example. And I think hopefully we all picked up and ran with that ball, because when I was in state police, and I have been a past president of NAMI, I'm also a past chair of the Suicide Prevention Council, and really appreciate the chief's words and all the people that are affected. But, you know, my contact was initially to start something internally, and we started a peer group for state police that now has grown immensely over the last 15 years. And it's something that we're able to turn both internally and externally, because I think where we are right now as a society, where public safety is right now, you know, we have to do a better job. We have to do a better job with crisis management. We have to do a better job with dealing with people that are in mental health crisis, keeping them from entering the criminal justice system where they get very little help. And keeping families together, and knowing that when you have a person in crisis, you have a family in crisis, and you have people that for literally the rest of their lives will be affected by this. And I think we have to start making decisions in real time and that are going to help those families and help those people. And I'm just very fortunate, after a long career with state police, to continue to be part of state police as a sworn member and do this work now that is specifically, you know, designed and will be continually evolving, you know, to help those people in crisis.
Thanks, Major Conti. Now, the date is August 10th, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., and it's in person, right, in Durham. So maybe, John, you can tell us the lineup, in addition to you having, and I feel honored just to be a part of this, but I know I'm going to say a few words at the top. But why don't you take us through a little bit of the day, how you see it, and then we'll try to do some get some sponsorships here.
Well, Tom, I think you stole my words as well, because we're certainly honored to have you be present at the symposium and offering some opening remarks. The day is going to start around 7 a.m. as far as registration is concerned. The actual symposium starts at 8 o'clock. We're truly honored to have an individual by the name of Sam Campton, who is going to provide a very powerful personal story in regards to mental health. And then we're going to have Chief Dean speak to his CIT program and his platform as a newly president of iCalia. Will be presenting as well. And then we're also honored to have former Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, John Broderick, and the current Chief Justice, Gordon McDonnell, speak on mental health and how it affects not only the children in school, but how it affects the criminal justice system, if in fact they were to enter the criminal justice system. And that's going to be an extremely important program. And then come the end of the day, Shannon Disletz from the governor's office will talk on her project called Choose Love. So we're honored to have all these presentations throughout the day. I know the three of us talk each year at the conclusion of each symposium saying, how are we going to top this one? And I'm very confident that this one will top all the previous ones that we've offered in regards to mental health. And I think the attendees will walk away from this symposium, not only with additional knowledge, but something that they can take to their own personal lives as well.
And of course, I've been saying that since the very first one, like, how are we going to top? Remember, you had the woman from Virginia Tech when it was at the NHTI campus, you know, pre-COVID, and that was just so compelling. Then, of course, we pivoted during COVID and still, you know, maintained this conference, but it was virtual. Now it's great. It's back in person. And of course, John Broderick's a great friend of mine. We've had him chat with our employees several times. His book on this topic is a must read for everyone. And, you know, Chief Dean, before we get into a couple more specifics, you know, the suicide prevention is so important, and that's a huge part of it. And we've, in addition to John, we've had other speakers on that topic. But as you all three also know, it's also what I call the sort of the silent sufferers, the person who is seemingly doing well in high school and college, playing sports, you know, getting A's and B's, you know, everybody seems to think that he or she is doing well when in fact there may be some, you know, internal suffering. And I think that type of awareness is, you know, is part of this as well. So really, really appreciate you doing this. And of course, you know, like, I'm honored just to be there. I've learned so much just by hanging out with John. And I will say this, that whenever we're together, we just recently had John for a conversation with a bunch of, you know, emerging leaders. And boy, he had them in rapt awe of what he's doing, you know, the whole awareness. Oh my God, Jay, you're back. I can't believe I've already used up 12 minutes.
It's already break time. That's right. We've got Paul Dean, co-chair.
I want you to give the Helios information so people can be a sponsor. So it's one way you do it. You can contact ajordan@unh.edu or just Google Helios Safety Symposium or go on the UNH.edu website and look for the Helios Symposium. So this is like really cool, isn't it?
It is. It is. It's pertinent information as well. And the 8th annual Helios Safety Symposium, it'll be on Thursday, August 10th from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. And as John Stevens had talked about, registration starts at about 7 a.m. And go to unh.edu/Helios, that's Halias-symposium for more information. We've got Paul Dean, who's the co-chair of the Helios Safety Symposium, as well as John Stevens, who's a co-chair, and also Major Russ Conti of the New Hampshire State Police, retired and unretired as well. It depends on what day it is for what the major said. So we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back and have more information here on Northeast Delta Dental Radio on the Pulse of New Hampshire. This is the Pulse of New Hampshire. I am J-Dog, and we've got a big lineup today, continuing the conversation about the Helios Safety Symposium. We've got Chief Paul Dean, co-chair of the Helios Safety Symposium, as well as John Stevens, who's co-chair of the Helios Safety Symposium, and also Russ Conti, Major Russ Conti, New Hampshire State Police, alongside Tom Raffio, talking about the Helios Safety Symposium, which will be going on Thursday, August 10th. It's the 8th annual, by the way, from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., and registration starts at 7 a.m. Gentlemen, you've had a great conversation, and I will continue to let you guys continue to have the great conversation here.
Thanks, Jay. So, gentlemen, before we get into the crossover between first responders and the general public, let's talk about the still stigma related to mental health. And have we been making progress in that area? That's the first question. And the second question is, do you think the Helios Symposium has also, you know, moved that needle over these past 7 or 8 years?
Yeah, I think the best thing that we can hope for, Tom, is that, you know, programs like the Helios Symposium has really opened up the eyes in regards to the perception of mental health. It was always that stigma that was attached to mental health. And it's really something, nothing more than the fact that it's one more thing that just needs to be treated, finding the right people that can help you and not think that you have to suffer through your depression or your challenges without receiving the help that you need. And I think what the symposium has really exposed is the opportunity that health is prevalent, health is there. And if you reach out, there'll be some way or someone to help you.
Well said. And as John Broderick says often, like, nobody, you know, nobody blames you if you develop cancer or diabetes, and that should be the same approach that we take, you know, with mental health. Back to you, Chief Dean, from a college campus perspective, how do you think today's college students are more open to talking about it? And what do you feel is the sort of the pulse of this issue on a college campus?
Thanks, Tom. So on a college campus right now, it's probably the number one thing that we're dealing with. It is involved in almost all of our calls to some extent, a mental health condition, anxiety, depression associated with that. And as John mentioned, I just got sworn in as the president of the International Association of Campus Law Enforcement Administrators. And so one of my platforms is mental health. And why I was giving my acceptance speech, a campus police officer in Georgia took their own life. And so that stuff really hits home. It's happening more than we think. And so we're seeing that uptick. We're seeing that loss in resilience here. And, you know, when I talk to colleagues across the country and internationally, it's the same thing. So we have a lot of work we have to do. One thing I think is important that we want to stress, especially if we have any of our, teachers listening today, you know, freshman college year is nothing but 13th grade. And just because, well, when you're a college senior and you get out in June, doesn't mean that, you know, there's a clean slate and you lose all of that, right? And so we want to encourage our K-12 educators to come and listen, because the message the lineup has is just as important there.
That's a great point, Paul. Thank you. So Russ, back to you. So first responders, other law enforcement who deal with constant exposure to traumatic events, I know they have trouble, you know, dealing with this. How their stress, that they're seeing all this trauma, and then they're kind of internalizing it because they've been sort of trained, kind of like why we have a high suicide rate with veterans. You know, they're trained to take care of people, but now it's affecting them and they don't know where to turn. So kind of talk about that area, if you would, Major.
Absolutely, Tom. Thanks for the question. It's definitely a risk group, like veterans. Every year there's law enforcement officers that lose their lives in the line of duty. And that is that number is certainly outshined, unfortunately, by the number of law enforcement officers that lose their lives through suicide. And it's usually at least double. There's been years where it's nearly triple. So, you know, we have had to take a different look at ourselves. And thankfully, we have people that are forward thinking. And people like Chief Dean that are carrying the torch, and we're going to, you know, move this thing forward to get the people help. We have now peer services in New Hampshire that have been regionalized. So at one time, the state police was the only peer team. You know, that was the only people, and we helped. We've never turned anybody away. But you need to have those, you know, services be prolific with first responders. And I'm not just talking about law enforcement officers, because this affects firefighters and EMTs. And dispatch personnel, and the list goes on and on and on. 911 operators, you know, everyone is affected by the work, by the level of what they see, what they hear, what they smell, what they are aware, and how they feel. And those are the things that have to be worked on. You have to have coping skills. You have to be able to debrief from those things. So we had to get kind of real with ourselves. We had to check ourselves a little bit first to assure that we had an understanding, and also knowing that, you know, these are the things that will shorten careers. They'll shorten lives, of course, but they'll shorten careers. They'll shorten, you know, families and marriages and relationships. You know, Judge Broderick says it about best. There is no one that's unaffected by mental health issues. And, you know, I get out to speak a little bit, and, you know, there was a time when, you know, there was maybe a couple people would raise their hand and say, yeah, no, my family's affected. Now you can ask, you know, is anybody not affected? You know, you know, the reality of it is it's just something that affects all families. So we have to get to a position where we do it very well internally, so we exude these skills that we learn, and we will much better serve, you know, the people that that we come in contact with in crisis. And I think that's been the biggest move forward, is getting first responders as a group, you know, as a profession, to look at ourselves and be able to take those things that we learn and now apply them outwardly, especially with the advent of 988 and some of the other nationwide, you know, endeavors that are happening with helping people in crisis.
You said that very well, Major Conte, because I know, let's say in a corporate setting, just being able to talk about it is huge. You know, like as I say to my managers, like, you know, if an employee comes into your office and says, well, I need meniscus surgery, I've got to be out for 2 weeks. Well, that's a very comfortable conversation. You do the paperwork, the person's out for 2 weeks. If that same employee comes in and says, I'm having, you know, a mental health issue or my spouse or family members, it's a lot less comfortable, but we have to have that same degree of comfort. And you're right about the raising of hands. When we started that technique and some of the talks that John and I have done, you just have to ask two or three questions and every hand's in the room. Like, are you personally affected? You know, a third of the room, is your spouse affected? The second third, and is another family member or close friends affected? Everybody else's hand goes up. So I just think it's conversing about it is just part of the, you know, solution, that people know that, you know, that they're not alone. But since you mentioned the Nation 988 program, would you like to expound on that a little bit?
Sure. Nationwide, it started roughly a year. It was actually last year in July that it kicked off officially. And now what we have is we have a number designed for mental health crisis. So when you call 988, you get connected with people that deal with mental health crisis. Now, I will tell you that calls for service, depending on who you talk to, are well above the 50% mark in a lot of jurisdictions for people, regardless of whether it's petty crime, serious crime, homelessness, addiction, food insecurity, whatever the case may be, has a nexus back to mental health issues. So this 988 is now going to put it in the forefront. So it is a way to triage these calls so we don't have law enforcement officers going to calls where we need clinical people. Sometimes these things can be cleared up on the phone. If police officers do come, that's fine. 988 is a resource for them. And we train officers every month in crisis intervention technique, the training program for crisis intervention, and 988 becomes a tool for them when they go. So they can reach out and get hooked up with clinical people, hook up people in real time that are in crisis. And that's what's going to make the difference. That is what's going to keep people out of the criminal justice system, keep them out of a system not designed to give them the recovery that they need, and push people towards what they really need. And hopefully that will minimize some of these tragedies that we hear about, whether it's, you know, suicide, death, or it's addiction, or it's, you know, the breakup of families or incarceration. And hopefully we're moving towards something that is more streamlined. And 988 is that mechanism that is going to get it going and all flowing in the right direction in real time, right in that minute.
And you're right. All of this is so related, you know, mental health, addiction, you know, food insecurity, it's all there. So back to you, John and Chief. How important do you feel the Halea Symposium is in terms of normalizing, you know, reporting systems, the general awareness, and kind of assisting, you know, in overall crisis management?
Paul, I'll defer to you.
It's so important, Tom, in managing this in so many different ways around crisis. But I just want to jump off of what you had started a little bit earlier that I think goes with crisis. You know, our first responders are crisis managers. And it should be just common sense that your first responders that handle crisis probably need that checkup more than the average person. But the difficulty with that is that, you know, I won't say who I said this to, but I used if I had cancer, you know, how would you treat me? And then I said, you know, what happens if I walked in and said that I had a mental health thing? And that hesitation in the eyes showed me everything that I need to know, that people have a difficulty understanding that, right? And so it's important on all levels, because we need to have understanding. The people in front of me are doing amazing work every single day and should be championed by what they do. But they do it silently, and they do everything they possibly can to do it. You know, the whole state needs to rally behind this. Like you said, three questions and everybody knows somebody. So why aren't we treating this like the pandemic? Why aren't we putting the resources behind it like the pandemic? If we did that, we might have a chance.
All right, well, we're going to make that pitch on August 10th. Well, God bless you three gentlemen, and of course, you know, people like John Broderick. Jay, why don't you give us all the contact information, because we want a great turnout on August 10th to get the word out, and we need a few more sponsors as well, as Delta Dental is. So let's get the word out. Jay, why don't you give the contact information?
Absolutely. The 8th annual Helios Safety Symposium will be Thursday, August 10th from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Registration will start at 7 a.m. You can go to unh.edu/Helios. That's HALIAS-symposium to get more information. As Tom mentioned, sponsors are needed as well. And registration starting at 7 a.m. will be the 8th annual Helios Safety Symposium on Thursday, August 10th from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. And another edition of Northeast Delta Dental Radio concludes. Fear not, we'll have another edition next week. For Paul Dean, John Stevens, Major Russ Conti, Tom Raffio, I'm J-Dog, and we'll be back next time with an all-new Northeast Delta Dental Radio here on the Pulse of New Hampshire.